Opinions, perspectives, facts. This is the Scott Hamilton Show, serving up sports real Southern style. To be a part of the show, call 843-721-9500. That's 843-721-9500. Or connect on Twitter at Scott H Radio. Now, here's Scott Hamilton.
Good morning. It's Tuesday, the 28th day of September, and welcome to the Scott Hamilton Show. We're what, 72 hours removed from Clemson's defeat at NC State? Double overtime loss, but It's still resonating. Not only through the Palmetto State, not only through the ACC, but across the nation, east coast to west coast, north to south, and all around. People are wrapping their minds around the fact that Clemson is 2-2. Two losses in September, the first time in 7 years. People don't know quite how to take it. A lot of folks are unsettled. We're going to discuss that throughout the program. We're going to discuss the Gamecocks. And we're going to discuss Coastal Carolina, Myrtle Beach State University. Quarterback Grayson McCall coming aboard at 11:05. Man, we've got a lot to get to. Good morning, Trent.
Hey, good morning, Scott.
How about a green light, boy?
I'm ready to go. Let's have a good time.
Let's go.
What you waiting for? You only got one life.
One life.
And we gon' live it up. So give me the green light.
Give it to me.
'Cause I'm ready to go.
Monday Night Football last night. And I've got to admit this. I lost my love for Monday Night Football a while back when they started just rotating people through the booth and Dennis Miller coming on, the comedian who had a talk show, and you know he's famous for being Dennis Miller, nothing really else. But it's good now. First of all, the game. Dallas 41, Philly 21. Dak Prescott, man, he looks great.
Woo, he's playing really good football right now.
Doesn't he? He looks really good, considering everything he's been through. He's recovered from the injury. He got paid, and he's playing like a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. What we saw last year before he got hurt.
Exactly. 21 of 26, 238 yards, 3 touchdowns. Last night, 143.3 passer rating. That's almost perfect.
I think 158 is the perfect number.
Don't boggle my mind, though, with the minutiae of how they calculate that.
I have no clue.
Zeke Elliott, 17 carries, 95 yards, 2 touchdowns. Jalen Hurts, one of my all-time favorite players. All-time. He's beloved with two fan bases, Alabama and Oklahoma. God bless Jalen Hurts, 25 for 39, 326 yards, 2 touchdowns, but he also had a pair of interceptions. But let's get to what really matters, and that was the Manning Megacast on ESPN2. Must-see television, even if you only have it on in the background.
Right.
And you're doing other stuff. It's captivating, man. It's the best thing on TV. Survivors should be so good. And last night, they had their normal car wash of guests come through. Matthew Stafford, LeBron James.
Yeah.
And King Nick Saban. But... as with everything, there's an agenda for what Saban does and what he says. First of all, let's get to the introduction. Peyton introduces Saban as saying, "Our next guest has coached the entire NFL," as is evident by the number of players who are in the National Football League that are former members of the Alabama Crimson Tide. But he doesn't just come on TV to come on TV, especially an NFL
Never.
Broadcast. Yeah. Especially an NFL broadcast featuring two Manning boys. No, he did it to get the attention of the youngest Manning, that being Arch Manning, the junior quarterback down at, is it Newman something?
I believe Carson Newman.
Is it Carson Newman? That's a college.
That is a college.
I almost said that too.
Yeah, I believe Newman might be the...
it's school. In New Orleans.
Yes. Odell Beckham went there.
Oh, okay. And so did the Mannings.
Mm-hmm.
So he's in the mix to get this kid, the number one recruit in the class of 2023, a generational quarterback by all accounts from those who know these sorts of things. And Saban, it was just a blatant recruiting visit, and he was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
He's fantastic. Give us a clip from the Manning Megacast.
At last count, we had like 73 guys on NFL rosters, not all active, but I'm pretty proud of that. I'm pretty proud of the way these guys, compete and represent, our university and our program.
He might as well be sitting in somebody's living room. That's what he's doing. And he basically is. That's what he's doing. He's on TV. People are in their living rooms, I presume, watching the broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
And there's Nick Saban pitching the virtues of the University of Alabama. Not that he needs to. I mean, all he has to do is wear all those championship rings and say, here, this does my talking for me. But it's a heated battle for Arch Manning.
Yeah, oh, for sure. For all the schools in the country now, Clemson, Oklahoma, they are all in Texas, all in contention.
Ole Miss,
and Georgia.
By the way, it's a Freshwater Tuesday. Our friend Joey Freshwater, we honor him every Tuesday.
Great man.
Now, here's the bad news. No Manning MegaCast for 3 weeks. We're going to have a little withdrawal, but that's okay. It's all good. They're going to return October 25th for the Seahawks at Saints game. And what we see could look different by then, because the Manning brothers, as we know, are perfectionists. That's how you become so elite at their jobs. Well, that and having good bloodlines, good genetics, having their father, Archie Manning, contribute to their bloodlines certainly helped. But I have no doubt they're going to try to improve the broadcast. Here's Peyton.
Artie, 2 weeks down, the feedback continues from friends and family. A lot of people are watching film of us. This is the feedback I got. I got to slow down. I have to stop interrupting guests after I ask them a question. You and I both need to explain football terms. We're not in the film room. We have to fix Brett Favre's Wi-Fi. We have to book Pat McAfee every week. McAfee's going to be hosting this show pretty soon. They don't need us here. So I'm responsible for IT and guest booking, obviously.
IT and guest booking.
That's a Peyton Manning special right there.
That's kind of your job, isn't it? IT and guest booking?
A little bit, yeah.
See, so far this morning, you've been doing stuff on the computer. You were helping me with some sound checks, and you were bringing me a phone number.
Basically, I am an IT guy. Yep.
Go pick up my dry cleaning. The coffee could be better, but it's good enough.
Biscuit's a little cold, but it's all right.
You did bring me Chick-fil-A one day. And you actually went to get me a muffin one morning. That was super strong. Props to my sidekick, Trent, when I asked him, dude, can you go get me a pastry, a donut, anything?
Can't be malnourished before the show.
And you were thoughtful enough to get me the classic, you said, the blueberry.
Blueberry. I mean, yeah, you don't go poppy seed when you're getting somebody a muffin. You want to go classic blueberry. You don't want to go banana nut. Just get them what they deserve.
God bless Trent Corville. Gamecocks coming off a loss to Kentucky. That's what they do. They've lost 8 of the last 9 to the Wildcats. They're going to host Troy this weekend, try to get things turned back around. Gamecocks, 7-point favorites against Troy. It's 3:30 kickoff on the SEC Network. Remember your mask. I've got to give this PSA. Remember your mask if you're going to the game, mask ordinance in Columbia, until October 8th. And that will apply to this week's game against Troy. It's going to cost you $100 if you don't mask up. It's a weird world we're in right now, Trent.
Mm,
because,
you can say that.
Well, it is. You, a third of your life, the Clemson Tigers have been in a college football playoff.
Yes. That's really crazy to think about, but yes.
That's some perspective right there. A third of your life.
Yes.
The Clemson Tigers have been in the college football playoffs. But right now, 2-2, coming off that double overtime loss at NC State. There's a lot of things going on with that team. 15-point favorites, though, against an undefeated Boston College team this weekend. Now, maybe that's because the defense is probably elite.
Right.
The defense is elite. I'm going to go ahead and say that. But also, I think it's just presumptuous on the odds makers and on the top 25 voters who still have them in the top 25. They're number 25. I think it's presumptuous.
Yeah, it seems like the odds makers are begging us to take Boston College at the plus 15 there.
I know. I might get suckered into that one. I'm also keeping in mind, first time Clemson has lost multiple games in September since 2014, the year of the first playoff.
Mm-hmm.
And you can look at that two ways. Is it a rallying point? Stop the bleeding. Come together. Because they're still getting elite recruits.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Here's my question, though. A couple of things. First of all, it's only September. And here we are already pondering the possibilities of a team other than Clemson representing the Atlantic Coast Conference in the CFP.
Hmm. Wow.
That blows my mind. I mean, everybody from Boston to Miami to from Carolina Beach to the Ohio River and all points in between the league's footprint, they're thinking, wow, who's going to be the ACC's representative? Because it's assumed that the ACC will get a bid.
Mm-hmm.
There's always been one. It's just how it is. Big 12, sorry for your luck. Pac-12, sorry for your luck. just how it works. 7 years, though. 7 years. And since then, it's basically been the same four teams since 2015. Basically been like that. And as I said, Clemson's had a standing invitation since 2015. And during that run, two national titles, two runner-up finishes. Who wouldn't want that except for maybe Alabama?
Yeah, absolutely. It still brings in recruits, those kind of numbers.
But unless an asteroid is going to wipe out the majority of the SEC's territory, South Bend, Indiana, or Provo, Utah, it's not going to be seven straight for Clemson. And it's not going to be, what would it be, eight straight for the ACC? Do the math.
Yeah, yep.
Not with an offense that couldn't score with 13 players. That offense is bad. Not with a schedule that lacks quality wins. And honestly, few folks are crying for Clemson right now. They're they're not getting much sympathy, not just from around the ACC, but from around the nation. Here's the SEC Network's Paul Feinbaum, friend of our show, on Clemson's demise and how Coach Dabo Swinney's handling it.
Where does this Clemson program go? And I'm not suggesting the dynasty of the last 6 years is over, but if you're a 17-year-old about to make a commitment and you have all the usual suspects, you're looking at that program and it just doesn't look quite the same today, Matt. And I think it will be very interesting to watch this. You know, Dabo Swinney, for all of his charm, is a pretty lousy loser. Nobody wants to hear his whine. Nobody really wants to hear, you know, him say whatever he says. He's a good winner. Well, he's not even a good winner, but he's a terrible loser.
Pretty strong words there from Paul Feinbaum.
Did not hold back, that's for sure.
Friend of the program. I might want to separate myself from him a bit.
Especially in this region.
Well, a couple of things. First of all, and we'll address what Paul said, and we'll discuss it at length when Larry Williams of Tiger Illustrated joins us in about 7 minutes. How different is it from when Alabama went through a transformation a couple of years ago? Remember, Alabama lost to Clemson. 44-16 in the national championship game. And then the next season didn't even make the playoff. And we were saying the same thing. Is the program on the decline? is the Crimson Tide finished?
Is Nick Saban
finished?
Exactly,
yes,
yeah.
Exactly. But you know what Nick Saban did, Trent? What did
he do?
He made changes.
Yeah, adapt.
He adapted. He came back to win another national title with perhaps the greatest team we've ever seen. I'll put last year's Alabama team into that conversation.
Yeah, and then the year before that, LSU's team. Those seem like the two best teams we've ever seen.
Well, they're in the conversation. I still contend that Nebraska of 96.
Okay.
It was ridiculous, but another conversation for another time. Actually, that'd be a very good conversation. Let's plan that later this week. You'll have to do your research.
Got it.
But Dabo is now in the position where he's going to need to do the same thing. He's got to reinvent the program just like Saban did. And we had on Jay Barker, all-time winningest quarterback in Alabama history, on yesterday, and that's what he said.
Yeah.
He said bringing in Lane Kiffin was a seminal moment for Nick Saban because he had to change his way of thinking. And yeah, there was a little bit of a hiccup during that point, but he had put the infrastructure in place thanks to what Lane Kiffin brought to overcome that hiccup, to make it just a hiccup instead of a deadly disease.
Right.
And to really panic at this point, to think that what's happening at Clemson is something that's just going to keep occurring in perpetuity, I just don't think that's on point.
Scott, it's going to show us a lot about Dabo throughout this season, how he's able to adjust to the struggles that the team has. It's going to, you know, the conversation, him and Nick Saban, some of the greatest coaches of all time, it's going to be interesting to see how he handles this season.
That's a good point. And also, not just this season, though, Trent. How is he going to handle the offseason?
Yeah.
Because we're going to find out. Look, make no mistake about it. Dabo built the program.
Oh, yeah.
He built the program. What Danny Ford built evaporated 30-some years ago.
Yep.
And Tommy Bowden, God love his heart, did okay, but he didn't do great. And Dabo took it to another level. We're going to see, though, if he's as adaptable as he needs to be. And I've said this before. I think I said it yesterday. Mike Krzyzewski and Nick Saban are the greatest coaches of all time, any sport, any level, because of their ability to adapt, not just on the field, but the way they operate a program, the way they recruit, the way they engage young people, the way they engage boosters. Nick Saban, always ahead of the curve, created an entire department for NIL before it was even approved, so that when it got rubber stamped by the Supreme Court, they were off and running.
Smart man.
Is Dabo, does Dabo have that kind of foresight? Is he as malleable as Nick Saban? He's younger, so you would presume, yes, that he's not as set in his ways. But we'll find out, because he's never really been challenged like this.
No.
Not since he got things rolling. It's been rolling. It's been on cruise control.
Yeah.
It has. And now we're going to find out exactly what he has in him with regards to not only coaching, but building a program, running a program, sustaining a program. We're going to ask those questions of Larry Williams of Tiger Illustrated when he joins us in 4 minutes on the Saitama Guest Hotline. You're listening to The Scott Hamilton Show. We're just getting started. And let me tell you about Saitama, a relatively new player in the cryptocurrency world, but man, it is rocking and rolling. More than 40,000 investors worldwide. It's changed my portfolio. Why don't you let it change yours? For more information, go to saitamatoken.com. Larry Williams with incredible points, incredible perspective. There's so much to we're going to learn about that program and the coaches and the players and the community and the fans and the opposing fans in the next days, weeks, months, years. He said reckoning, and I think that's an appropriate word with everything that's about to go down at Clemson. And short term, let's figure this. We'll make it our question of the day. How many wins for Clemson this year? Sitting at 2-2, lots of football remaining, the heart of the conference schedule, the division schedule. How many wins will the Clemson Tigers have at the end of this season, regular season or bowl game? Let me know, 843-721-9500, 843-721-9500, or hit me up on Twitter at Scott H Radio. You're listening to The Scott Hamilton Show.
This is Olympic champion Scott Hamilton. Yes, the real Scott Hamilton. And you're listening to the other Scott Hamilton show, where you should be entertained, informed, and maybe even amused. Just don't expect any backflips. I mean, have you seen him skate?
Making a final lap. First hour of the Scott Hamilton Show on Tuesday. Baseball tonight. Phillies at Braves. First pitch, 7 o'clock. You can listen to it on our sister station, 94.7, 910 AM. And don't forget, our interview with Larry Williams, Tiger Illustrated, will be available later today on Spotify, iTunes, and wherever you consume podcasts. Just search and subscribe to the Scott Hamilton Show. Larry Williams, I said it during the break. Larry Williams, Tim Brando, but not. Tim Brando hijacked the show last Tuesday.
Yes,
maybe
he did.
We should call it a hijacking Tuesday. I don't know. And Larry went at length, but God bless him. It was wonderful.
Oh, yeah, it was great. Great, very insightful man.
I just sat back and let him drive.
Absolutely. Sometimes you got to do that, right?
I'm not normally a good passenger, by the way. Don't ever go on a road trip with me. I will have to drive.
No problem.
And I will have to navigate. And I will have to have control of the radio.
Mm.
And I will have to have control on the AC.
Well, it's understandable. Whoever's driving usually gets control of the music / podcast, whatever you're listening to. So, makes sense.
There may be extended periods where I don't want you to talk and I don't want to talk. There may be extended periods where I insist that you speak to me. We will stop regularly.
Mm-hmm.
I got a whole list of issues when it comes to road trips, man. I'm the worst.
We'll make it a video series.
It's best I travel alone.
Yeah.
I'm constantly traveling alone by choice and by need. But that would be an interesting – it would be boring because – well, actually, it would be traumatizing because some of the things that I would say probably during these trips, like I get really aggravated.
Road rage, big road rage.
I wouldn't go rage as much as frustration. I'm not to the point where I'm going to ram another car or I'm going to get out and pull somebody out of their vehicle. I mean, I've felt like it. I'm a human being. I'm flesh and blood. If you cut me, I bleed. But I've never gotten to that point. I'm thinking about everything that Larry said, and I'm trying to digest it all, man. And it's a lot. I'm full. I mean,
yeah.
The offense is bad, And they, according to Larry Williams, they are in panic mode indeed up there. And I guess that's understandable at this point. But everybody's under fire. There are people calling for Dabo to make changes across the board with regards to his staff. And you would think that the first person that they would want to get rid of would be Tony Elliott, the offensive coordinator. And bless his heart, he stood up 20 minutes yesterday, more than 20 minutes, addressed the media, answered a lot of questions. You know, what are you going to do? What's happening? What's wrong? Are you going to make changes? Just you name it, it was thrown at him. He stood up and answered a lot of them. Here's a segment.
You know, we got to do a better job up front just to make him get comfortable again. You know, thought he made some progress, you know, in terms of in the previous games of sitting in the pocket, but I thought he got a little antsy again and kind of moved in the pocket when he didn't need to. So you know, just things we got. And I think all the guys, the staff, everybody felt like this was the game. And I think it's a couple plays, too. You know, I think if we score on that first drive, you know, we hit that little, you know, that little dump to Shipley, he's going to have a big play. We score on the second drive, then we come back and we at least, you know, get some momentum on those next couple of drives. It could be a completely different outcome, and all it takes is a little bit of momentum. So, you know, I don't think we're at that point where it is what it is yet, but we just got to continue to figure out the right get the right pieces in place, you know, just really kind of, you know, assess and say what each individual can do, and then try to build our plans towards putting them in a position to be successful.
That's Clemson offensive coordinator Tony Elliott. Let's ponder this for a moment. How much of the offense have they changed?
Wow, yeah. Doesn't seem like a ton.
Because you have to think it's not plug and play.
No, this ain't Alabama. No.
Well, and think about whose shoes he's filling. I mean, oof. Different skill set than Trevor Lawrence. Absolutely. Trevor Lawrence is a generational quarterback. And we saw enough out of DJ to expect better.
Yeah.
But to Larry Williams' point, it's not just a quarterback thing. It's not just an offensive line thing. It's not just a running back thing. It's a perfect storm of circumstances that have contributed to this atrocious offense.
Yeah, and I think also, I mean, not having Travis Etienne, and he was your running back for the last 3 years, has been incredibly impactful on that offense.
You cannot overplay the importance of that.
Oh, yeah.
And we kind of took it for granted because a lot of times we said, well, you know, they got that that blonde 6'6" surfer looking guy who's can throw it 942 yards, and they've got this great offensive line. You know, we kind of forgot Travis Etienne was arguably the greatest running back in ACC history.
Yeah, putting up, 1,500 yards from scrimmage every year, and we kind of overlooked him because, I mean, for good reason, Trevor Lawrence was the hot commodity of that team.
It's odd times in the upstate. Very strange times in the upstate. Very strange times across the ACC. A lot of people aren't sure quite how to adapt to this new world. Some are giddy with excitement, and others are just like, well, it's not good. Not good for the league. We'll explore that next hour. I'm going to dive deeper into that. I have thoughts on that. But it's Tuesday. First hour. End of the first hour. Let's do a little this or that.
Love the music. Love the music leading into this segment. Scott, since we're on the hot topic of Clemson at the moment, I want to throw a this or that at you concerning the quarterback room. Do you stick with our boy DJ, or do you move on from our boy DJ?
I think you stick with him. Because, again, it's not just a quarterback problem. It's a line problem. It's a running back problem. It's a receiver problem. It's a coaching problem.
Yeah.
They all have to come together to get on the same page. Look, it's not like he forgot how to play football.
No, of course not.
He looked so good last year. I'm thinking about the Notre Dame game last year. It looked fantastic. But they have to figure out how to best make it work for him.
Yeah.
And that goes, you know, the line has to figure out what can they do to make the line. And again, it's not like these guys are terrible linemen, but what can they do to help them succeed? What can the receivers do to help the quarterback succeed? What can the quarterback? They have to collaborate.
Yeah.
It's a team for a reason. And the onus is on the coaches to be the ones that point them in the right direction. I'm not calling for anybody to be fired. I'm not even going to go near that.
Yeah.
But I expect Tony Elliott, Dabo and crew to figure out how to put these guys in positions to be successful. Sometimes it's merely simplifying things. Is it too complicated right now? Are they doing things that are maybe just a little too too complicated and requires too much thinking. You can't react. When you're thinking, you can't play as well. You know that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And we can see that on the field. You know, DJ, it seems like he's been staring down his receivers a ton. Look, the guy can play football. I mean, there was a couple throws against NC State where your eyes pop open wide and say, wow, I didn't realize a human could throw the ball like that, especially at his size and stature. But I think Clemson's going to be all right. I think you stick with DJ. You can't hurt his confidence. Next one here, another quarterback question. When Oklahoma was playing West Virginia this weekend, we heard the boos, we heard the chanting, we want Caleb, the backup five-star quarterback who was the number one dual-threat quarterback in the country who is now a backup at Oklahoma. Do you stick with Spencer Rattler after his struggles, or do you try something else?
They're undefeated.
Yeah. No, I understand.
Don't change the quarterback, dude. And WVU's defense is not terrible. It's pretty good, actually. Something I never thought I would say. And I know Oklahoma's had other struggles, but come on, man. Come on. You're undefeated.
Right.
Don't try to fix it if it ain't broke.
I understand.
I mean, yeah, it could be troubling, but everybody's going to have moments of trouble. And we're only 4 weeks in.
Yeah.
It's no different. It's really no different, Trent, than firing the coach like Georgia Southern did over the weekend.
Right. Yeah.
They're 4 games in. What does that tell the program? Are you punting on the program? No, you don't change the quarterback.
All right, Scott, another this or that here. 8-team playoff or a 12-team playoff? This or that?
Ooh, gosh. I said 6, but okay, to get really into your question. If you go 8, you might as well go 12.
Yeah, that was my thinking as well, yeah.
Because the difference between 5 and 6 or 6 and 7 is usually huge. Mm-hmm. But the difference between 5 and 12 or 6 and 12 is nominal, or 8 and 12 rather.
Yeah.
It's all the same. The difference between numbers 6 through 12 are usually about the same. They're usually same talent level, same skill level, roster, all that. It's that upper echelon, which now is different because of Clemson's demise to this point. It's that upper echelon, that top four that really separates itself. And people can complain about it all they want. Same four teams in the playoff every year. Presumably not this year.
Yeah.
But same four teams every year. Well, it's just because those four teams are light years ahead of everybody and so much better. And if you add more teams, it's not really going to make the field that much better. What it'll do is set up for really bad matchups in the second round when those top couple of teams get a bye and they end up playing, you know, State U,
yeah,
seated 11th
right
in the second round. That would be traumatizing.
Yeah. Another one here, Scott. We got a couple teams playing this weekend, two undefeated squads, Notre Dame and Cincinnati.
Woo!
Now, if you look at the strength of their schedules, this is one of the big games for both of them. Obviously, Notre Dame got a win last week at Wisconsin. Week before that, Indiana. Cincinnati beat Indiana. Which of these two teams has a better chance of going undefeated? When you look at their schedule, this is the only game, in my opinion, where either one can lose for the remainder of the season. Which one?
Oh, my Lord. So you're saying which team has a better chance of winning out from this point?
From this point, yep.
Ooh, that's a really good question. I'm such a fan of both coaches. I'm going to say Cincinnati.
Okay.
Simply looking at Notre Dame's schedule, they've got Navy, mm-hmm. and, you know, they've got UNC, who doesn't look that great.
Southern Cal,
which is a dumpster fire right now. Coach fired.
Yeah.
No, you know, no coincidence there. But I'm going to go with them. I look at Notre Dame's schedule. Cincinnati, and I'm looking at it right now, they've still got UCF. Tulane, whom we saw play Oklahoma pretty good.
They can play ball.
That's a tough team. Yeah, I'm gonna go with the Irish on this one.
But Irish?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm gonna go with the Irish on this one.
There we go. That's this or that, folks.
You know who it could end up being? Could end up being Coastal Carolina.
Woo-hoo.
We're gonna pursue that angle on the other side when Grayson McCall, quarterback at Coastal Carolina University, joins us on the Saitama Guest Hotline. We're gonna get his assessment on everything involving the Chanticleers going into this weekend's game with Louisiana Monroe. You're listening to The Scott Hamilton Show. We will make that happen.
Yes, absolutely. We're going to get this in production very quickly.
I better shut my mouth because somebody out there is going to trademark this right away and then go to Grayson. And then when they go to the playoff, presumably someday, maybe, no, probably not, maybe.
Grayson's our guy, though.
Grayson's our guy. That's awesome.
He's a lightning rod, Scott. I love that guy.
He conditions. Not every day, but he takes good care of his hair. Kenny Powers. He didn't know the name of the show, but as soon as I said Kenny Powers.
I'm sure he's been told that a bunch are on Twitter, like, you know, scrolling through. He's like, oh, I'm Kenny Powers.
I've got to get him in the same room with Danny McBride.
Oh.
And remind me after the show to show you a picture of my mullet circa 1991.
Yes. I'm going to need to see that.
It wasn't as good as Grayson McCall's. His is unprecedented.
Make some shirts of your mullet, too. Why not?
Good logo, wouldn't it? Oh, God. Question of the day. How many wins do you expect from Clemson this year? 2-2, and it's only September. Give us a call, 843-721-9500. You're listening to the Scott Hamilton Show.
Hello, Low Country. This is longtime ESPN commentator Dr. Jerry Punch inviting you to listen to the Scott Hamilton Show on 98.9 ESPN Charleston. It should be fun. After all, Scott has inside jokes with people he's never even met.
Welcome back. Scott Hamilton Show on Tuesday. Our interview with Coastal Carolina quarterback Grayson McCall on the Saitama Guest Hotline will be available later today on Spotify, iTunes, and wherever you consume podcasts. Just search and subscribe to the Scott Hamilton Show. He was a fun kid.
Yeah, we were talking during the break. We're both huge Grayson McCall guys now. He was awesome.
I am going to get those shirts mocked up. Shirts and
to.
Visors.
We have
but
to.
You get the visor with the fake hair.
Ooh.
But you have the hair in the back instead of up the top.
Yeah, that's what we'll have to do.
That would be strong. I have NIL deal. Scott Hamilton Show and Grayson McCall.
Sounds awesome.
We're Everting Silas Kelly for the week of the Appalachian State game, which is a monumental game.
Mm-hmm.
Make no mistake about it. I mean, I am always high on Appalachian State. I think that is a wonderful football program, and I was covering that team when it made the transition from the FCS to the FBS, and had been incredibly successful at the FCS level,
right?
And then made that next step, and it was curious at the time they made the step in the middle of a coaching change, and that was kind of shifty. I didn't care for the way all that went down. There was a lot of disharmony throughout that program, throughout the boosters and all that, because of the way they pushed out the legendary Jerry Moore. Great guy.
Right.
Brought in, you know, they elevated Scott Satterfield from offensive coordinator to head coach. And, of course, Satterfield had great success there. They stumbled at first. I want to say they lost their first three maybe, but then went on to just crazy good success the next few years. And then, of course, he went on to Louisville. But the success has continued. I watched a game with Marshall the other night. Marshall, mm-hmm. Another wonderful program.
Great.
And what App does week in and week out is impressive.
Yeah.
Should have won. I know Miami's down.
Mm-hmm.
App should have won that game.
Yep. 100%.
App shot itself in the foot. It was not overmatched by the U whatsoever. Coastal at Appalachian State. That is Wednesday, October 20th, 7:30 p.m. ESPN2 game. So midweek.
Mm-hmm.
FBS football, I am down with it.
That's awesome.
Midweek Sun Belt game. No reason, if they win that, no reason why they shouldn't win the rest of the Sun Belt. Georgia Southern's down. South Alabama's looking pretty good. Troy, we'll learn something about Troy this weekend.
Yes, we will.
Play in the Gamecocks.
It's going to be interesting. They're 7-point underdogs, I believe, right?
Yes, they are.
That's a little surprising to me, I think.
Second time this year? It would be the third time this year South Carolina's favored?
Yeah.
Because they were favored against, was it Eastern Illinois?
Eastern Illinois, Eastern Carolina.
East Carolina.
Yeah, East Carolina.
Mm-hmm. See, that's the only, to my knowledge, directional school in this side of the Mississippi that's not like Eastern, Western.
I believe
so. No, I take it back. East Tennessee State.
Mm, right.
And then you go on the other side of the Mississippi, you have North Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So, what gets me are the people who think Western Virginia is West Virginia. Or that, there's no, and I'm waiting for the idiot to ask me, where's North Virginia? South Virginia.
Yeah, well, Scott, where is North Virginia?
Well, there
Virginia?
Is a North Virginia, it's the DMV, but.
Right. Traffic up there is crazy.
Let me ask you this, you're an educated guy, you're a smart guy. How do you pronounce the capital of Kentucky? Is it Louisville or Louisville?
I think growing up in the South, I've always said Louisville.
I would say Frankfort.
Ah.
Boom, boom, boom. I'm here all week. I'm still Still processing our interview. Yeah, you like that one. I got you. Real gin on that one.
Yeah, you did. You did because you told me the Capitol was.
See, these aren't the droids you're looking for. That's a Jedi mind trick I pulled on you.
Tell you what, geography wasn't my thing in the grade school or the high school.
Neither was geology for me, but I digress. still processing our interview with Larry Williams from earlier in the program. Dropping so much good knowledge on us.
Oh, yeah.
With regards to everything going on upstate with the Clemson Tigers.
Hopped in the driver's seat.
He really did.
Told us what's up, yeah.
He really did. And when you think about it, man, the impact of this is so far-reaching. Now, let's set the stage. As again, two losses in September, first time since 2014, going from 9 to number 25, AP top 25, probably too high.
Yeah.
Probably too high. And there's still so much football left to play, and they can improve their station exponentially. They could win out, finish 11-2 in the regular season, and we say it's a down year.
Right.
Wrap your mind around that.
Oh.
But who isn't already pondering the possibility of a team other than Clemson representing the ACC? I mean, that's what we know. Florida State went once, and then I guess Notre Dame last year counted.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they were a member of the ACC.
Right. They just like their little independent status, you know?
Well, and they can have it. They got a sweet deal, a Faustian deal. You know who Faust was, made the deal with the devil. That's kind of what John Swofford did with Notre Dame. Made a Faustian deal. You know what? We want you all in the conference, and we want Notre Dame basketball and Notre Dame baseball and lacrosse and this, that, and the other. And we're going to let you keep your independence.
Yeah.
You know, oh, you go ahead. We just want that Notre Dame brand associated with us in some regard. And Notre Dame's like, heck yes.
Yeah,
bring
let's
it.
Do it.
We can keep our TV deal with NBC, dude.
An exclusive with NBC?
Where do we sign? And then, you know, they probably regret that. I know he regrets it. I know he regrets it. But anyhow, so it's been a while since Clemson has not been in a playoff. Seven straight, not going to happen unless something dire occurs.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some folks who aren't crying for the Clemson Tigers. They're not crying.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm not even talking about Gamecock people. I'm just talking about people all over the country, all over the ACC specifically, saying it's their comeuppance. But hold up. Hold up. Now, anybody who says go ACC shouldn't be singing Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead. I mean, well, it's different, Trent. It's different in the ACC than it is SEC. Because I will say this, and if I'm wrong, correct me if I'm wrong. Because you're half Florida Gator.
I am, yeah.
But if the University of Tennessee is playing Notre Dame, Ohio State, Southern Cal, Texas, whoever, are you pulling for Tennessee?
Oh, no.
You're not.
No chance.
See, you're an outlier because you're only half SEC.
Right.
The diehard SEC fan will pull for the other SEC teams because it's good for the brand.
Right.
SEC, SEC.
We're the best, we're the best.
And
yeah.
It just matters more.
Mm-hmm.
The ACC is not like that.
Yeah.
I truly believe it. You're not going to get a Dookie pulling for UNC. You're not going to get an NC State fan pulling for Pitt.
Yeah, okay.
It's so just disjointed and different. I never got that same sense of community like I do inside of the Southeastern Conference's footprint. But the conference, the ACC, that being the ACC, needs to think about things for a minute. They need to think about things for a minute because if they say they are all about the ACC, then they need to be mourning what's going on at Clemson right now because the conference is going to be left floundering.
That's a good point, yeah.
Now, for everyone in that conference who was bullied or denied this, that, and the other during Clemson's run of dominance, I got news for you. You're not going to capitalize anyhow. The same lack of opportunities that are going to keep Clemson from making a miracle appearance as a two-loss team in the playoff haunt the rest of the league. That being, here I'm going to lay it out for you, Trent. The ACC has enough good teams, but not a great team to provide a signature victory. Look, even during the down years of the SEC, you've still got that alpha.
Yep.
You've got Bama. Even in the down years of the ACC, which is just about every year, mediocrity reigns, you've still got Clemson to hang your hat on. The Big Ten has Ohio State, even though this year we've talked about the Big Ten East just being really good, probably the best division in all of football other than SEC West.
I agree, yeah.
That would be it. We need to compare that tomorrow. Okay. I'll dive into that tomorrow.
No problem.
But the levels of mediocrity throughout the ACC are so equally distributed that interleague play, it basically creates a giant round-robin tournament.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I'm following you.
Okay, so any team can win on any given Saturday.
Yep.
But it's good for parity, but it is absolutely awful for identifying a team that's playoff worthy. And guess what? Mediocrity doesn't bring people to televisions.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tune in to watch a mediocre team. I mean, unless there's nothing on.
Right. Last thing you, yeah, right.
I mean, maybe it's a Wheel of Fortune. You know, I don't like Wheel of Fortune. I'm no good. I'm okay at Jeopardy. I'm terrible at Wheel of Fortune. It makes me mad. But anyway, television is what drives the train. So a mediocre team isn't going to drive people to television, and then the train's not going to leave the station.
Right.
It's not going to happen. So what is that? What's the ACC left with regards to the college football playoff if Clemson's not in the picture? What do you have? You've got, okay, now you've got two undefeated teams right now.
Yeah.
You have two, Boston College and number 24, Wake Forest. And both fan bases, man, are jumping on their bandwagons. They're celebrating nice starts because, you know what, those are two historically downtrodden programs. To start 4-0 is a big deal.
It's huge. Huge.
Now, let's put it in more perspective now. There are 23 undefeated teams in the country right now. 23. Now, that includes the leaders of every Power 5 conference, also including Boston College and Wake.
Right.
But you also have Notre Dame. And you have BYU, who I keep telling you.
Yeah, you're high on them.
I am high on Notre Dame. I think the table, or BYU rather, I think the table is set. And let's dive a little deeper. Neither Boston College nor Wake Forest has a current top 20 team left on its schedule. Same thing for NC State, one loss NC State. They're number 23. Best team they're going to play, they've played until they play Wake Forest or BC.
Right.
So what I think is going to happen is, they're going to cannibalize each other. Now, there's the possibility that one of those teams or two of those teams, maybe all three of those teams in the Atlantic Division, they reach top 20 status by the last day of the regular season.
More than likely.
But as I said, the harsh reality, I mean, you got to wrap your mind around if you're an ACC fan, is that those teams are going to cannibalize themselves. They'll be good. They'll have good but not great seasons. Again, mediocrity will reign. They'll go to respectable bowl games, but not New Year's Day bowl games. Definitely not playoff bowl games.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be no shot at a national title, and nobody will be carrying the ACC banner onto the sport's biggest stage. So consider it a season of empty calories, Trent, for anybody who wanted an end to Clemson's run of dominance. It's empty calories, brother, if you're an ACC fan, because they say, oh, we want what's best for the conference. But, well, we really don't. We just want to see Clemson not win. Well, hopefully they'll enjoy someone from some other league winning the national title. People are jumping off the bandwagon left and right.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to go for a ride on the other side, looking at who's hopping on and who's hopping off bandwagons across the country. You're listening to The Scott Hamilton Show.
This is Olympic champion Scott Hamilton. Yes, the real Scott Hamilton. And you're listening to the other Scott Hamilton show, where you should be entertained, informed, and maybe even amused. Just don't expect any backflips. I mean, have you seen him skate?
We're halfway through. Final hour of the Scott Hamilton Show on Tuesday. Phillies at Braves tonight, 7:00 first pitch. Tune in on 94.7 FM, 910 AM. It's also on FS1. The bandwagon light with regards to the ACC's playoff host. But it's not alone. There are a lot of bandwagons shedding weight. And some others that are getting people piling on. Trent, do you want to go bandwagoning?
You know, Scott, I would love to go bandwagoning with you.
Now, disclaimer. This is not a ranking of the best or worst teams, the biggest wins or the worst losses.
Mm.
It's instead an inexact assessment of the emotions experienced by various fan bases following their most recent game. There is nothing scientific about this. Nothing at all. I am not a scientist.
Oh, no. We are not science guys.
No. Trent, I'll let you go first.
Scott, some team that I'm hopping off of after their performance last week is the Michigan Wolverines. Coach Khaki Pants and the boys, I understand that they pulled it out against Rutgers, but you're a 20-point favorite at home. It was a 20-13 game. Rutgers played them close the entire time. I don't see Michigan being successful in the long run here, especially as they get into more Big Ten play. So I'm hopping right off the Michigan Wolverine bandwagon.
You see, you're a potato, half full, half empty guy, obviously, because that would make me want to hop on the Rutgers bandwagon.
Oh, okay, okay.
They've been having a good, you know what, and I'm going to ad-lib it right now. I don't have that note in front of me. I'm going to go Rutgers. I'm very happy with the direction of that program Greg Schiano 2.0.
Football guy.
They're playing physical football. They're going anywhere, anytime to play anybody. I like it. I like the showing they had against Michigan because that's not a Michigan team of years past. This one is pretty well-rounded in every facet of the game. I like what I saw out of Rutgers. I think in another year, they're really going to be a force in the Big Ten.
I agree. Rutgers look really good, but I'm hopping off Michigan. Can't do it, Coach Khaki Pants. Can't do it. You know, another mediocre season it feels like they're going to have getting into Big Ten play. I'm not with the Wolverines.
I'm with you. What else have you?
I'm hopping on Arkansas, Scott. After that victory in Jerry World, you know, against Texas A&M, Texas A&M has got the, you know, quote-unquote home field advantage, and they played him really well. The team looked physical up front. They got the wide receiver Burks. He looks awesome. KJ Jefferson looks like a second coming of Cam Newton. I mean, he is a absolute load. His quads are the size of my torso. I mean, it's unbelievable. So I'm hopping on Arkansas. I'm really interested to see what they do this weekend against Georgia.
I've already got a seat. I'll make room for you on the Arkansas bandwagon.
Yeah.
I am jumping off both feet first in the Iowa State bandwagon. This season ranked 7th, and there weren't just whispers but shouts from mountaintops that the Cyclones were going to be playoff contenders. Wrong.
Yeah, oh, dead wrong.
Yeah, we're 4 weeks into the season. Cyclones are 2-2 and unranked after losing to Baylor 31-29. And maybe we raised the bar too high all along because perspective is a valuable thing. It's a powerful weapon. Because going 8-5 last year, making the Big 12 championship game in a season unlike any other, beneath the shroud of COVID-19, it seemed so amazing for a program that has always struggled to even be slightly relevant. Also, they had a lot of talent returning. Matt Campbell, the coach du jour that everybody talks about.
Yeah.
Everything seemed so perfect for Iowa State, but instead of climbing never-before-seen heights and turning in a season for the ages, Iowa State is back to its usual station and still got the heart of its schedule remaining. And Campbell's stock, no longer quite as high.
Yeah, people were considering him for a lot of big jobs, right?
A lot of big jobs. So his stock is plummeting. So I'm jumping off the Iowa State bandwagon.
Scott, a bandwagon I'm jumping on here, and I jumped off of actually a couple weeks ago, but I am back with the Notre Dame Irish. I loved them against Wisconsin in Chicago. It was a great atmosphere, and they blew the doors off Wisconsin. The defense for Notre Dame was playing great. The backup quarterback for Notre Dame came in, and he was playing great as well. They have two really good quarterbacks that they can use. Run game looks good. I'm really high on Notre Dame. They were, you know, 6.5-point underdogs against Wisconsin, and to absolutely blow them out of the water, I really like what I'm seeing from the Irish.
I agree. Here's another I'm jumping off.
Okay.
Anyone, and I'm not alone, anyone who is hesitant to invest in Auburn, feeling pretty good right now.
Ooh.
Auburn Tigers, I'm done.
Yeah.
A week after, and I'm using air quotes, the good loss at Penn State, they got market corrected by a one-win Georgia State team of the Sun Belt. Not Coastal.
No.
Georgia State, and, well, Auburn needed a little help, random or orchestrated now, from the SEC officials at that game to survive the, in air quotes again, bad loss. Would have been bad loss or good loss. A loss is a loss, an L is an L. Either way, it's bad. There's a potential quarterback controversy also on the plains. Bo Nix, he got yanked.
Yeah.
Finally.
I wanted to ask you about Bo Nix, yeah.
Oh, my God, he finally got yanked.
Oof.
Quarterback change, quarterback controversy, never a good sign as you head into conference play, especially when you play in the SEC West. I'm done with Auburn.
Love it. Scott, real quick on the NFL here, hopping on the Los Angeles Rams. They beat the defending Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers in L.A. The stadium was awesome.
No, they beat them up is
yeah,
what they did.
34-17. This seems like, you know, in the Sean McVay offense, to have Matthew Stafford, a guy who can throw every pass on the field, who can hold on to the ball. He doesn't have small hands like Jared Goff. He's fumbling it all the time. I really like what the Rams are doing here. The run game concerns me, Scott, with Cam Akers being out there, having to go with Daryl Henderson and a couple other, you know, rookies. So I think if they get the run game together, Jalen Ramsey is playing better than I've ever seen him play. They're kind of letting him play like a safety nickel position instead of just an outside corner. And obviously we know what Aaron Donald does on that, you know, interior defensive line. So I'm very, very high on the Rams right now. I love them to go to the Super Bowl.
All right, and I'm going to machine gun through some before we go to the break. Jumping on an 18 playoff, Notre Dame coach Brian Kelly trolling Missouri.
Yeah.
Don't, you know, it worked out well for BC. Baylor, Fresno State quarterback Jake Haner, undefeated unranked teams. There are 9 undefeated teams that are not ranked in the AP Top 25. Arkansas versus the state of Texas. beat Texas A&M, beat them both soundly. Beating Southern Cal, that's now the end thing to do. And storming the field. I'm jumping on that bandwagon. Ooh. Looked like a pretty darn good party in Raleigh.
Love it.
On Saturday night when they beat the Clemson Tigers. Jumping off the bandwagon. For a 12-team playoff, they're talking about 8 teams now, as I alluded to. Minnesota coach P.J. Fleck, I am off the bandwagon for P.J. Fleck. Trolling Boston College, didn't work out for Drinkowitz at Missouri. Wisconsin jumped off that bandwagon.
Oh, yeah.
Mentioned Bo Nix. Tennessee's scheduling tactics, dropping Army in lieu of for Akron. Not cool, dude.
No.
Big 12 quarterbacks, pretty much mediocre at best across the board,
yeah.
Including the one you mentioned earlier, Spencer Rattler for Oklahoma. Losing to Bowling Green, not a good look. And midfield flag plants. I'm jumping off that bandwagon. Did you see during the SMU-TCU game? They went for
not.
The flag plant, and it did not work out well. Go on the Twitter device.
Gotcha.
To check that out. It's pretty funny video. So that's bandwagoning for this week. We'll clean things up and call it a day when we return on the other side. You're listening to The Scott Hamilton Show.
This is Olympic champion Scott Hamilton. Yes, the real Scott Hamilton. And you're listening to The Other Scott Hamilton Show, where you should be entertained, informed, and maybe even amused. Just don't expect any backflips. I mean, have you seen him skate?
Making the final lap, final hour of the Scott Hamilton Show on Tuesday. Remember, our interviews on the Saitama Guest Hotline will be available later today on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you consume podcasts. Just search and subscribe to the Scott Hamilton Show. You know, it's funny. I get a lot of tweets and text and so forth throughout the show, and this is a great one. Someone forwarded me this tweet from our friend Brett McMurphy at the Action Network, and he's recapping the 2021 season so far. 6 teams are changing conferences so far. Those are his words. 3 coaches have been fired. You had Clay Helton.
Yep.
You have the one at Connecticut. I can't even think. Was it Randy Edsall? I think got fired at Connecticut. And then you have Chad Lunsford at Georgia Southern. 3 already fired. And one, that's just too early. Anyway, 25 AP top 25 teams have lost. That's incredible.
Yeah,
what a
crazy
first month.
That's crazy.
And well, I guess we're done with the month. It's going to be, what, October 2nd?
Mm-hmm.
When is the first? Thursday? Friday?
Good question. Hold on.
The first is Friday. I'm already ahead of you. See the phone? You go to the calendar, man. You're a Generation Z?
Yeah, no, I mean, I was getting my calendar up on the computer.
The phone, man, the phone.
I don't use my phone when we're on, you know.
Oh, okay. Touche. Well played, young man. It's crazy, though, when you think about it. I mean, everything we've already had happen, all the things that Brett McMurphy pointed out, he didn't even mention you know, Clemson being 2-2. He didn't mention the rise of Arkansas, the rise of Michigan and Michigan State.
Right. Michigan State especially.
Iowa.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it again. I really like Iowa, man.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really like that team.
They can make some noise. They can make some noise.
Oh, by the way, because you're half Gator, Florida, Kentucky officially sold out.
Ooh, let's go. Let's go.
Yeah. Have you ever – Yeah, I mean, you've been to Florida games, right?
Yeah, I've been to a couple.
Okay. We – I was at the Kentucky-Florida game in 08 when Tebow got knocked out.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
It happened in front of me.
Wow.
I was in the eighth row on the 35 on the side of the field where he got knocked out.
Great seats.
Really good seats. They had seat backs. Yeah, ooh, they were really good. My buddy owned a suite, and he owned no seats, so he would go up in the suite, and I would get those, and I was good with it. but he had to stay the night at a hospital in Lexington, and then he went home.
That's right.
But that was something. But we would grill gator.
Mm.
That was cool. We had gator flown in, and it was delicious. But Florida still won big. And then the one time I went to the Swamp was incredible.
Yeah. Oh, it's a great atmosphere.
And I'm not a Florida fan or anything, but I really appreciated that atmosphere. I like that atmosphere so much better than Notre Dame didn't do anything for me, man.
Yeah.
It really didn't. I was so underwhelmed. And I don't know if I expected this religious experience, like to have this out-of-body, you know, thing happening, and I would be communicating with, you know, the ghost of Newt Rockne and the Gipper and the ghost of Lou Holtz before he lost his marbles and things like that.
Yeah.
I didn't care for it. I just it was like,
yeah. That was surprising when you told me that. Yeah.
I've been to better games at G5 stadiums than at Notre Dame. I'm just going to throw that out there. I mean that. I've had better experiences, especially like going to App State.
Oh, what a facility. I mean, the whole thing.
Going to East Carolina is wonderful. Those people know how to do it right. Virginia Tech is SEC quality.
Enter Sandman.
Enter Sandman, really one of the best entrances.
Oh, yeah.
In football. But going to Notre Dame just didn't do it for me. And I'm wondering if it's because leading up to that, I had this incredible stretch where I had 3 games in 3 weeks. Okay? First one was to Army. Second one was Boston College.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one was Notre Dame. Army blew my mind.
Yeah.
If anybody has an opportunity, go to a game at Army. I mean, I don't care. You don't have to pull for them. You don't have to have them playing a team you like. Just go for the experience, man. It is unreal. I can't say enough about it. Boston College was okay. Yeah. I stayed in Boston, took the train up to Chestnut Hill. It was cool. There was no atmosphere. They were there, I told you, at tailgating for hockey.
Right, yeah.
That night. But, you know, Boston's a cool town, I guess. It's yeah. Okay. And then Notre Dame. And I got to experience 3 cities differently.
Completely different,
I stayed in Manhattan, took the train up the Hudson to Army.
Nice.
Stayed in Boston, took the train up to Chestnut Hill. And for Notre Dame, I stayed in Chicago and just drove over. It was like an hour and a half. It was nothing. Got pulled over, by the way, mistakenly on the way back. And this car blew my door off before. This is a good story. I'm on my way back to Chicago. I'm in my rental car. Doors blown off. I get past. Woo! I went, oh, my Lord. And then here comes the cop pulling me over. And he comes up to my window, and then the other cop in the car runs up to him, and then the cop looks at me and goes, oh, my wrong car. And then they go chasing the car that blew my doors off.
Way to do your job, pal.
Well, here's why the good Lord blessed me even more.
Mm.
I didn't have my license on me. I left it in a hotel in Chicago. So I didn't feel like going to the clink in Indiana.
And in a rental car. That would have been good.
And you know my history in the rental car. I told you
the
other day about the one I trashed in Wisconsin. So, yeah, I'm sitting there. I'm like, what in the world? I'm getting pulled over. I was actually going to speed limit because I realized I left my entire money clip with my wallet, my ID, in the hotel room. I'm getting pulled over. You know, 11 o'clock at night near Gary, Indiana, on an interstate in a rental car. The good Lord looked after me that day.
He did, yeah, for sure. I mean, luckily you were going the speed limit, though. I always do that. Like, when I leave my wallet, I am going nothing over, nothing under the speed limit. That's for sure.
Well, the moral of the story is don't go back to Notre Dame.
Yeah, yeah. No, just bad luck. Bad luck over there.
Last game in that press box, too.
Ooh, really?
I closed that press box that year and the old media center at Augusta National one year. I'm the harbinger of death.
Wow.
When it comes to media facilities. Or maybe I'm a good luck charm. It means you're getting a new one.
Potentially, yeah.
I don't know. That's it for the Scott Hamilton Show on Tuesday. I'd like to thank our guest, Larry Williams of Tiger Illustrated, giving us the lay of the land, everything going on in the upstate, everything going on at Clemson University. Also, Grayson McCall, quarterback, Coastal Carolina University. We were talking about being quarantined. We were talking about being a Division I quarterback, and we were talking about hair care. He's a glorious, glorious mullet. Remember, all of our interviews on the Say Tama Guest Hotline, available later today on Spotify, iTunes, and wherever you consume podcasts. Just search and subscribe to The Scott Hamilton Show. For my producer and sidekick, Trent Corville, I'm Scott Hamilton. Hit me up on Twitter by following @ScottHRadio. Until tomorrow, Wednesday, we're out.